You're always looking in the wrong spot.
Both of us were like, oh, 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 and then neither of us got butthurt about anything.
Yeah, riding hard, put a boy wet.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. And I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 16th episode of Dead Zone the Podcast. In this episode, we have a look at Mantic Open Day and discuss what we've been up to hobby-wise. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures. And now on to the show.
So, we find ourselves here again.
Once again in the studio to record the Dead Zone Podcast. Hi, my name is Jack.
I'm Rob, and this is episode 16.
16.
Time marches on.
It does. It stops for no man.
It's true. Tempest Fugit.
Keeps on ticking. Ticking.
Into the future.
It does.
So this episode, we're going to be talking about Mantic Games Open Day 2014. Happened on May 17th.
May 17th. Sounds good.
A little while ago. But we're going to go over a lot of pictures. We had some people there taking pictures for us, plus we found some others. And we'll have a discussion about everything. A lot of new stuff showing on there. Good. Mostly, we're going to focus on the Dead Zone stuff. There was a lot of Dreadball. There was a lot of new skirmish game by Mantic, fantasy skirmish game. A lot of Mars Tech stuff. But we're going to focus on.
We're going to keep to what we what we do.
Otherwise, we'd best. Be here forever.
Yeah.
And I'd like to thank. Well, do shout out first because a lot of the shout outs are to thank people over these pictures. So.
We'll make sure we thank those who sent along the pictures before we delve right in. Make sure we gotta keep our keep everything.
Copacetic?
Legit.
Too legit to quit?
Yeah.
So first one, we got to like to thank G-Mort's Chaotica. I talked to him on Twitter, and I lamented the fact I couldn't be at Mantic's Open Day, so he promised to take some pictures for us. So he took quite a few pictures.
And that's the G-Mort's Chaotica. That was the... he had a kind of a encyclopedia of the various things. He was collecting, aggregating a bunch of stuff, Dead Zone related, and that was a very interesting site.
He's got a blog, and you can the link to it will be in on deadzonegame.podbean.com. The full link to his Open Day blog. It's got a lot more pictures than even we're going to be talking about, because like I said, we're just going to be talking about the Dead Zone stuff. You can go on to Twitter. He's gmorts_chaotica on Twitter too. And we also got a lot of pictures from a anonymous person called Fisty Glue Man. You can go to Twitter. He's Fisty Glue Man on Twitter. And he's also got an imager blog there. No. We'll put the link to that.
No. Fisty Glue Man was a glue bottle with two fists.
He took a lot of pictures at Mantic Open Day for us.
No, I'm calling shenanigans. I'm going to say the internet's lying to you.
No.
Don't trust everything you see on the internet.
Fisty Glue Man took pictures, and now we're going to show some.
Okay, well, I'm skeptical. I'm skeptical. I'm gonna keep a distance from this. I don't trust.
I don't trust. So on to these pictures. First of all, we got a great look at some of the Asterians in a cabinet, plus the Plague Strider in the background there, plus the Forge Fathers in the other corner there.
Plus on the right hand side, there's two
the zombies. Yep, we get some better pictures of all these
close-ups. Zombies. Oh, there's the Dr. Simmons on the left-hand side.
These are all the mercs over there.
Okay.
But we'll have some better pictures. This one mostly is focusing on the Asterians here.
Nice smattering of models from the Dead Zone.
And, there's the Asterians. They're looking good. It looks a little more yellow there. I like the yellow and blue. Before it looked beige, I didn't like the beige, but this looks like yellow. The yellow and blue looked cool together, actually.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. It's a nice-looking model. I'm looking at the Strider. Like,
we'll get to him.
Okay,
you've been distracted. Here's here's a great picture of what do they call them? The resin. What do they call when the models? You know, like just the
the positive that you would use to get the mold.
Yeah, kind of like the sculpt. Like I think it's done by computer printing, like
3D printed.
But it's the infiltrator bike with the sniper on it. One wheeled still. It's cool looking.
And to the left of that is the sniper off the bike.
Yeah, we got a better picture for
mobile. Okay.
So there's a front view for the sniper on the bike. It's fun. It's just, I wish it had two wheels. And there's, there she is off the bike. She reminds me of Recon a bit. Same kind of armor. She's a scout like Recon. So.
Interesting.
And next we have, this is the Corporation Strider with his arms off, but it's a good look. He looks awesome. Doesn't that look cool?
It does look cool. It's got a robot. It looks like a robot.
A robot?
It's got a, I don't know, I like the paint job, I like the design, yeah. I like everything.
I wish I could paint this good, because he looks awesome.
But what's that up to the right-hand corner?
There?
Yeah, there's a ghost.
I think it's like a, I don't know if it's a clear, I think it's Blaine, of all people. But I'm not sure if that, maybe that's for Mars Tex?
Blaine's ghost?
Maybe he can turn invisible or something, cloaking.
Oh.
I'm not sure. Or maybe it's just a clear resin picture.
Someone,
you're always looking in the wrong spot. He's supposed to be looking at a Strider, and he's looking at the background.
No, but that's how I am. I'm vigilant.
So here's the Forge Fathers. We saw the concept of the leader of these guys, the Bjarn Stormfall. But this is the actual Forge Fathers. Like I say, they look a lot bulkier than the Warpath Forge Fathers.
We're back in the cabinet of the original picture, but now we're starting to focus on certain things, and that's the Forge Fathers in a kind of... all of these are painted. Please go to the website and take a look and see. Follow along with us with these painted in a kind of like a earth tones type.
Where I went with more metallics for mine.
And they've gotten some, they've painted some lights on there and did the lighting effect around it. It's nice. It's nice.
Here's some more terrain from the day. Probably, this is a lot of that, it's destroyed terrain and open. Like somebody says, when I see terrain like this, you know, it's open like that, and somebody pointed out perfectly, it reminds me of a paintball field. Doesn't it? It's like...
With that paint job, because that paint job is very splotchy, so it does. Not like a paintball, like a speedball arena.
Yeah, like a nice arena. Paintball, yeah. Like a really nice one, but still. That's why I like our buildings to be solid, you know?
Our buildings to be solid, and I think the aesthetics of a... This wouldn't fit match our aesthetics. It's nice, don't get me wrong. It's nice, but it doesn't
match. There's another angle of it. I do like some of it. It's just the colors are not great. Here's a cool red one. These are all just people playing on the demoing the Dead Zone on the day on these boards. It's neat. It's a nice red, nice dark red.
It's just I like that. Just sitting at Mantic playing.
Yeah, at the open day here.
Dead Zone.
They had there was a picture of the whole place. They had about probably over 10 tables full of Dead Zone. Demoing it and playing it.
It's too bad. That'd have been something to do.
Here's a decayed one. It's got like moss all over it. And
that one is nice.
It's pretty cool. I think a lot of these might be people bringing them in, too.
Well, that's someone who did something I'd never have thought to do, but he's actually taken the mat and done...
Yeah, actually sprayed on the mat. Modified... Actually, it might not even be the mat. It looks like almost like a piece of wood that he's just put a grid on.
No, look at the corners. They've got the rounded corners. Mm. It's got the black.
I don't see any of the things, though, on it. Like the...
Manholes.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Either the buildings are on them, or he covered them up with
I don't know.
The vast amounts of... I wonder. Someone might know.
Because look back there. That's the real mat. See, it's got that triangle. I think this is just a piece of board they put down. That he did it onto so he could spray it and it's neat.
Made his own lines. And
so he could carry it strong, like so he could carry the whole thing at once, right? The whole board?
I don't know.
I like the color scheme of this one, actually. For some reason, the yellow, I would never paint my stuff yellow, but when it does done yellow, it looks really neat. It looks industrial, like, you know, like.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot.
And look at he's got one of the support struts stuck out in the middle of the, that's interesting. That's
instead of using it on a tower.
Yeah, and then a broken lamppost there. Like they've taken they've taken the bits and mixed them up a bit.
Yeah, for sure. Like used them to the limit. A little inventive. Design. Like you said, when we first got there, we got it early, so we did basic stuff with it.
We did basic.
Over time, you can see the stuff people are doing with it. It's pretty amazing.
Look at the one in the top left-hand corner there. They built an alcove with walls. Like they put an exterior door in one section, so there's like a little alcove where someone could stand in. And
yeah, it's cool. And I think this is the same one, different angle. Maybe not. No, is it the same one? Yeah, I think it is.
Yes.
We just never saw this from that angle. That's pretty cool. Neato. Neato Beato. And here's a nice blue one. Once again, people doing some neat, like, just with how they're using the terrain is neat. Like, they're doing some cool things you'd never expect, you know?
No, like an open top along the one side, the left side. There's, I'm I'd be happy to play on any of these.
Oh, yeah.
To go to one of these things and bust out an army.
This is the official Mantic one. This is that's what you can tell. This one's a lot bigger. Look at this like trench they did in it, and like.
But they coated the outside of the trench with the
walls.
The walls, so it's got the same aesthetic.
And yeah, this one's you can tell this is the one that they used to demo it. It's pretty awesome. Look at this too. From
the bottom of that trench to the top of that platform there. How many?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 5 levels. That's the 5th level. It's tall. That's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I'm going to go with 6.
Yeah.
That's some varied gameplay. You could really.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I like how they use the single bridge as double. It's kind of neat. So you get that texture, but it's double side. Then you get blown off top over here. I like it a lot. This one's pretty neat.
You can tell that's a pro, though. And
unlimited supplies, too.
No rinky-dink operation like what you got going on.
So here's a close-up of the Plague Strider. Looking good. Looking all plagued out. You can see the little guy in there.
Yep, with the cockpit that I would use if that was...
The Bastion one? But
good. Like, again, the paint jobs...
Look how tall he is, too. He's probably double the height of a normal guy. Big robot. Bigger than the Striders in Dreadwall. Like, we expect them to be about the same size as that. It's much bigger.
No, that's a big robot.
And here's the bits, Strider bits that come with it. 2 different guys, the open that's the open cockpit pit that's not damaged. Like, almost like the, from Aliens. Different bits, flags and stuff. Cool. And here's those zombies you were wondering about.
Yep.
Are you looking good? They look like almost like vampires. But I like the uniforms on them. It looks like Corporation Marines that got turned into zombies.
Which is nice. That they're not just zombies. They're zombies that fit into the world. Like, they're a part of... It's organic.
Yep.
They didn't just slap some tattered clothes on a guy and go, hey, that's a zombie. We happen to have a sprue of these things laying around.
Yeah, for sure. And last is, this is actually for another shout-out to our buddy from last episode, Micke Lind from Sweden. He sent us a cool picture on Twitter. He's Feral_83 on Twitter. And he sent a picture of his finished plagues. He went with the very pink, but they look good.
Look at the way he did the weapons.
Yeah, they look really good.
He went with almost like a bubblegum pink.
Yeah, very bright pink, but then the earth tones of the clothes look cool.
Yeah, I went with the all business black, and that's nice.
Yeah, look at those guns. Those guns look awesome. And the clothes.
Really nice.
Like we've said, we're not a big fan of the pink, but he did it. Nice contrast with it.
He went very cartoonish to very it's very good, very good. Now, it shows them with the paints in the background. I don't know what
those are. Citadel paints from
brand
Games Workshop.
Okay,
that you can tell because they're the they're almost like paint pots instead of squeeze ones like nowadays.
Well, I have a Citadel paint
and from 1982.
I really like it. Yes, it's the red that I use.
Says something for Citadel paints that it's still good. So, so there's that. That was Mantic Open Day, visually. And by all accounts, it was a great time. Like, all the reports on Twitter and on Facebook, everybody loved going, and we do have to go someday. I said when they invent teleporters, we'll be there. Just teleport over, come back one day.
I'm with Bones on this one. I wouldn't trust the technology.
You are a crotchety old surgeon.
I am crotchety and old, but my medical license was revoked. Experiments and such.
So, on that note, let's take a small commercial break, and we'll be right back, and we'll discuss some other thingies.
What are we going to discuss?
Well, you'll find out when we get back.
Okay, let's all sit through this commercial.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast with your hosts, Jack Fike and Rob Harper. Dead Zone is the tabletop game from Mantic Games. Please visit them at manticgames.com.
And we're back.
Aren't you glad you sat through that commercial? That was awesome.
That 20 seconds of delight from Winter Green. I keep trying to call him Wintermute because I'm reading Necromancer, the book, and there's a Wintermute.
Oh.
But he's not. He's Winter Green. Wintermute's his cousin.
You're just making stuff up now. You're deceiving our listeners. You're a deceiver.
Wow. Wintergreen may rest in peace. He's not dead yet, is he?
No, he's not dead yet.
Damn it. Anyways, this segment...
Well, who knows? We are recording this in advance, so...
Don't even talk that way. Poor pathetic Wintergreen.
He is old, brittle, and frail.
And so this segment, we're just going to talk about what we've been up to. Do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
It's up to you. You're on the show. You're executive producer. You're the director. You're the soundboard engineer. You're...
Fine, I'll go first.
Okay.
So I had a bunch of Warpath Forge Fathers from the Crazy Boxes, and I decided to modify them up because I didn't want them to look like the other Warpath Forge Fathers I have. So I did a bunch of crazy mods to them. There's a nice picture of them. And then I primed them up, and I gave them to Jack to paint. So we'll see what happens when Jack paints them up. This is our first combined effort. I did the building, Jack does the painting.
Yeah.
I painted the one in the middle. I think we'll see that later. And I went a little bright with him. I wanted to try something different. I'm usually a very dark painter, and I think he turned out a little too fantasy, Warhammer fantasy bright.
And you've had a considerable amount of models to paint for. You've been purchasing at a regular pace. So when I had mentioned that I had finished up all of my painting,
I was like, here, you're taking these. I
didn't even arrive at the studio. You had a box full of things to paint. So.
And also from the crazy boxes, we had lots of marauders, so I modified them up, made some crazy weapons, and one guy's got two power claws, and one guy's got two pistols, this guy's got a rifle, this guy got a rifle. The two of them were drivers for the raptors. This guy gave big chainsaw to, and big rocket launcher. Well, I went crazy.
Yeah, we'll see what the stats for that chainsaw...
Well, I assume we'd use them as a ripper suit.
Circular saw monstrosity, but
you can use them as a ripper suit, he's just smaller. And it's funny, a lot of discussion about how these orcs look different. We used to talk about how they look different from the commando orcs. And yes. I guess that the way they're saying is that the Warpath orcs are younglings. They're like the young orcs that they just send out to battle, and if they survive, then they slowly become commandos as they age. So these are young orcs. That's why the Warpath orcs look different.
Oh.
That's kind of neat that they figured out a way to why they look different. So
there
you go.
I'd still pop their heads off and add...
gas masks.
Gas masks, but hey.
I discussed last time. And here's a few Dreadball... they're actually Enforcer... I think they're Enforcer Corporation Team females, but I use them for Forge Fathers, and I gave them some weapons. And she's a leader because she's pointing.
Yes, she doesn't have her foot up on a box, which calls into question her ability to lead, but...
She's only a sergeant. Only the generals get their foot up on the box.
Oh, okay. That's...
So yeah, I gave him some weapons, and we'll see how I do. Because, I had three of these, one Dreadball MVP, so I had to make some different stuff with them.
And until your corporation replacements of your reinforcements arrive...
My enforcers,
You'll be... Probably playing with some.
Yeah, we'll try. Maybe try to Forge Fathers sometime.
Forge Fathers or something like that. So
here's a group of my Teratons with the two girls and the bike and the APC there on my shelf.
Yep.
And here's that dwarf I painted up, the Forge Father. Very bright. He looks all right though. Kind of. He's all right. He's all right. He's all right.
I know you're not happy with him, but he looks good.
He looks all right. I'm not crazy. Well, once again, I'm not crazy about Forge Fathers in general. And here's the raptor I built. And you can see it's very, very cherry. I was going to make it all beat up and
weathered,
but I decided that I like the cherry look to him with this chromed out. So he's very shiny. And then I dulled up the wheels and the metal bits.
So it's not new off the lot, brand new, but it certainly hasn't taken a beating yet.
Yeah, it's shiny, shinied up. It's got cherry. Whoever owns whichever marauder owns this three wheeler, he takes good care of it.
He gets the Karuba car wax on there and makes sure the details. Okay,
so that's what I've been up to. What have you been up to?
Well, as we discussed in the last episode of the Dead Zone podcast, the replacements for the plague hounds that
legs didn't make transit.
No, they've got very very thin little ankles and
delicate. They have waif like
yes, bird bones in their canine extremities. And so there were some fatalities from the original lot, and Mantic did in good faith replace those. So this time, instead of we went clear plastic bases with most of our miniatures, but the replacement itself already had some stress. The plastic turned white on the ankle, and yeah, I was already like kind of concerned. I didn't want to go for a twofer for ruining a model, so I decided to base both of these. I used the hot water trick to manipulate the limbs so that they were both as many limbs on the ground as possible. Strong.
Glue points.
Yeah, so I painted those two plague hounds. I based them. You'll see the pictures. One of them...
got some fire going on the base there.
Has some fire beside him. The other one has a little bit of a dribble problem.
Yep, we got a close-up on the drool there.
We'll show you that. And then, as anyone who's been listening to the podcast and my lamenting over the one model that I was not happy with the sculpt.
Yeah, really, literally probably the only one model, right?
Yeah, for me, the plague was done well. The Type 3s are what they are, but the 1A is a really nice...
Oh, it's the best model.
Model, and the Teratons are nice.
That 1A is my favorite out of everything.
Yeah, so they're nice sculpts, yeah. But the plague swarm.
Yeah.
It was
a good idea, but it was way too hard to turn into something that looked good.
The sculpt,
it was just too much mush together.
It was mushed.
Yeah.
There was, the base of it was
the just... concept of, like, rats and worms.
Rats,
and
worms,
centipedes,
slugs.
The concept of them all being together because it just plagued out and they just turn into a swarm and come at you. That's cool, but
it's interesting.
It didn't get portrayed on the model as well as it could have.
Didn't translate well for me. And I tried to paint it once and I was unhappy.
You had two of these. You had two plague swarms.
Yes, had. And you're jumping the gun a bit. But what happened was I had mentioned this previous podcasts, probably two or three times, that one day I was going to, when it was its time, that there was going to be a modified plague swarm.
There was going to be a reckoning.
There was a
plague
swarm
reckoning.
And I took the wrath of God and I went to town. And what I did was two of those plague swarms are now one.
And how'd you do this? How'd you accomplish this?
Well, if you take a look at the picture, we're going to show the picture there. It's going to be the painted.
It looks awesome.
I cut away slugs, rats.
Used a Dremel?
Everything. Said? Yeah, I took away everything from one of them that I didn't want and made kind of a shell, a base of all of the centipedes coming out. Then I took the other one and basically cut away everything and made individual centipedes and millipedes and whatever else that I wanted. I then made a... It looks like concrete being burst out, and it's pieces from the top of one of the buildings. You know how I had taken away the
you cut out the middles of the, put the screens on
the tops, and I had that, and it matches the, obviously it's going to match the scenery. So those pieces, I broke those open like it was coming up,
like you see in the picture. Yeah,
I created mud as though they'd burst out from underneath
how'd you make the mud?
It is silicone.
Oh, you use silicone again? You love your silicone.
I do love silicone.
Where'd you get the silicone anyway?
I got tons of silicone. Yeah, as a homeowner, you can't not have silicone.
Oh, just like the caulking?
Yeah, this stuff was brown exterior silicone I used.
I didn't know how it came, but now you say that it makes sense. It's just caulk.
And so I made mud, and then I glued in the singular pieces in and created a kind of a 360 worms bursting
awesome.
Up and out the centipedes. And I'm happy with it. And not to monopolize time, but it was the first time that since I had painted all my other plague, I had done a little testing with washes on two
your
of
secret,
the models.
Secret weapon washes there?
Secret weapon washes, but I had not... I'd stuck pretty much to my dry brush, like good 5-6 coatings of some of them, like the plague one, I probably 14 different just dry brushes
over and over and
over and over and over and over again. For this plague swarm is the first time I used washes,
and it looks amazing. It's a quantum leap from like some of your other stuff,
and
your other stuff's not bad. I'm just saying this looks amazing.
Yeah,
this looks like studio quality.
And I'm gonna say, well, I wouldn't go that far.
I think it does. You've got every little eye pointed in there perfectly, and it is amazing.
But I am gonna say that I am going to discard a lot of my Walmart kids paintbrushes that were meant for to buy as a party favor, and the wash is really.
Can I get some sable?
I've got some other good paintbrushes that I've picked up that I'm going to... But they're not Sable now. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm still cheap.
Sable's not that expensive.
But I was thrilled, and washes...
They look stunning.
Secret Weapon, I'm glad I dropped $80.
Yeah, you went crazy and bought every single wash they had.
To get like their starter kit, because I didn't... Not having done it before, I didn't know what I needed.
It's a good point. Like, I did that with the regular paints, too. I just bought the Army Painter set because I didn't know which ones I'd need, and
yeah,
now you see which ones you use more. And...
Yeah, so I'll order selectively next time. But yeah, Secret Weapon washes, oh my god! Just I was in the dark ages. I was like a primitive. I was
that washes or it showed your true talent.
I've seen the black monolith. I've taken up a femur and I'm now smashing other monkeys.
Yeah, he's been born again from thanks to Secret Weapons.
Yeah, so that's basically it. I did the two plague hounds, the replacement plague hounds. I did the new modified swarm, which will that rounds out, that completes everything I got with the original thing now. So my next army will be we'll showcase now the swarm. We've never used them before. I'm gonna do that, and a lot of plague hounds. So
yeah, the plague, you got quite a few plague hounds now.
So that's what I've been up to.
Very cool. And we'll take another short break. We'll have a little message from one of our friends,
one of our pals, one of our confidants,
and we'll be right back.
We will now take a moment for an important message.
This is the Strike Zone.
Yo, yo, Dreadball fans. The Strike Zone podcast is all about entertaining, educating, and informing you about everything Dreadball. We record twice a month, are an hour long, and are child-friendly. You can look us up on iTunes with the keywords Dreadball and Strike Zone, or on our main website, www.warmoreradio.com.
Enter the Strike Zone.
Welcome back to the Dead Zone podcast.
And welcome back. And before we start recording, I did put out a shout-out to on Twitter for anyone to have a question for us.
And no one possibly could have...
Oh, you're wrong.
What?
Our buddy Liam Hall, Monkey Kung Fu.
Monkey Kung Fu!
He's back.
He was... He made both our clip show and he's been on our shout-outs.
He actually asked us two questions. The first one I'll address to you. He said, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
If he could... I would say that a woodchuck, statistically, and I'm just going on my knowledge of woodchucks, which is pretty, I didn't know, I don't think he knows that my knowledge of woodchucks is both well-rounded and...
You are vast. A woodchuck specialist.
I'm not even going to go to my bookshelf to get my tome of woodchuck.
Or even into the other room to see your woodchuck that you actually own.
Well, he's not been feeling well.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I made him chuck 16 cords of wood.
Is that more than a woodchuck would normally chuck?
That is more than a woodchuck could chuck. So we're going to go at a conservative 14, but, you know, if
you pushed.
Ride him hard, put a boy wet. He got 16. he got 16 last weekend, so I got enough wood chuck now to...
Nice. Anyways, Liam's actual question is, what are you most looking forward to in Wave 2?
He must have listened to our early May episode where we had discussed
that. I don't know anymore. It's all confusing. I don't remember when anything was. I don't remember yesterday.
That's because we've been drinking in the studio again.
Yeah.
We say we're not going to do it, but every time.
We do it.
All of a sudden there's bourbon and beer
and rum.
And whiskey. And...
Anyways, phase two, Plague Strider probably. I think now seeing them after Mantic Open Day, the Plague Enforcer Strider is probably what I'm looking forward to. It looks awesome. Although the zombies look pretty cool. Asterians, we're getting some Asterians. It's something, but there's also things we haven't seen yet, like the Plague Enforcer or some other things like that.
I'm going Strider.
That Plague Strider is awesome.
Yeah.
Those Striders are amazing.
Strider. I think both having a Strider on the field, is going to...
I don't know how they even fit on the field. They're so big.
Yeah, when we design
they might
board,
just be like, okay, I can't get through there.
When we design a board, we do, like, it's filled.
It's pretty much one square alleyways, almost.
Like, I have one Type 2 that his stance was wide, like a Republican in an airport bathroom.
And I was wondering where that was going.
Follow with me. So I used a wide clear base, and I've yet to be able to use them because
we filled board stage two. Yeah, it's so too much. Big, yeah.
So my Plague Swarm might be the same thing.
Yeah, but
I can only imagine how big it's a good over twice as big as.
But might be 3 inch 3 by 3 bottom, right? So it might just fit in one square.
Yeah, but with the big it's the height and stuff, that might be. I'm just talking literally moving it around the board, but. To answer your question, Liam, it would be 16 cords of wood.
No, only if you're hard. 14 was the official.
Oh, okay, yes. Yes, Percival might not make it through. And you'll be sorry if he doesn't.
You'll be sorry.
Oh, my vengeance will be swift. Anyways, no, my answer is the Strider. The Strider. I think it'll just be interesting to see what they can do, see how they play, and it's a nice looking piece. We just looked at them from the open house there.
Yeah, so. Seeing those Striders in the flesh, as it were, that's really raised my hope, or not even hope, but like expectations.
Expectations, yeah. Not that we have them coming to us in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, they're coming in July. You're getting two Striders.
Yeah, again, your purse strings.
No, that was, yeah, well, I guess it was. But it's fun. Those Striders look awesome.
Yeah.
That might be, definitely have to change the board a bit to play them, just to let them be able to get through places.
But I do think that once you have the manpower, once you've gotten your enforcers and stuff, we've already
bigger fielded. Bigger boards.
Yeah, bigger boards, bigger fielding, bigger units and stuff like that, bigger point counts. It'll be, the Striders will fit in by then. I think we'll have upped our game. We'll be confident in our mercs. We'll be confident in bigger point armies. And
we'll have to figure out stats for the Marauder Raptors and the APC for my enforcers and the Firefly.
It can't be that long before Mantic hears your pleas when you
make more stat cards.
You gnash your teeth and shake your fists at the gods and swallow your jewels, and they'll hear your cries for vehicles, and just use that stat card there.
Yeah, we can use it as proxies, but for that. But even the Warpath, when the Warpath Kickstarter does eventually come, might not be Dreadball, or no, sorry, not Dreadball. Although an APC and Dreadball might be interesting. No, hey,
they're cheating, ref. That's a vehicle.
The ref is underneath the vehicle, but no, in Dead Zone, they might not have stats for Dead Zone vehicles. Like they're purposely doing it to make me cry.
Yes, yeah.
Put stat cards out. God.
There was almost uncharacteristic anger. Rob, you're the kind one.
Yeah, I just want stat cards for everything. I can understand why they don't do it, because they want to do different models maybe for everything.
All I ask is stat cards for everything.
Yeah.
Is that so wrong?
Well, people will make them, or will make them. People have already done it. There's Vermin stat cards and Corporation Marine stat cards, which is cool.
If there's a vacuum that the company, and this isn't just for Mantic, but any company, if it's a fan base that's big enough and creative enough, which miniature wargaming does have a fan base that's big enough and creative enough, by definition, creative enough, if you leave a vacuum, it will be filled, and it will be filled very well. Numerous people will do it, and eventually the best will rise to the top.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there's already people making cards that look... Well, I know there's people making cards that are different from the Dead Zone cards that are, like, cleared and different way they're set up.
It'll be done very swiftly and very well. So, Mantic, your best bet is to either jump on or take that approach and say, we're going to make it official and get it done. Or, fans, we're gonna eventually adopt...
Well, actually,
what you've done, but so yeah, go to town.
I was reading for the game Dust Tactics and Dust Warfare. One of the fans just started making cards for Dust Warfare because it just used to have stack like army lists kind of, and somebody just started making cards for it, and now Dust has adopted almost exactly those cards for the game. So I assume that's what's going to happen for Mantic. Well, they'll realize that people demand these cards, and they'll just make decks of them like that. That's once again, Dust is doing is making just decks of cards.
We've discussed this before. A good creative fan base can do a lot of your R&D for you.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think that's been proven already, just with Jake listening to the fans.
He does a very good job of that. His website he does a very good job, and they've got a lot of irons in the fire right now with the different games and stuff. They can't concentrate on everything at all times, so why not let people who enjoy it, and people who get it, and people who want to be a part of it, a community, let them do, and
obviously these things won't be official in tournaments, which I don't think there is many Dead Zone tournaments, but which the idea of tournaments just makes me ill anyways, really. You should just be playing for fun, not to beat somebody, you know?
There's plenty of people who are competitive in that regard who want to, hey, teach their own. So it's a big, brave new world out there.
Yep. So I think that pretty much covered Liam's question there.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Thanks 14 thanks cores. A lot, Liam. We got another message here.
We've got another one. Someone else from Twitter has decided you've sent out your into the ether your requests for contact, human contact, and who now has returned that?
Well, we just have a comment from our friend who you think doesn't exist for some reason, Fisty Glue Man on Twitter. He just says he was just talking about Mantic Open Day. He said there was an amazing Mars Attack robot, but he wasn't able to take pictures of it. So, Fisty Glue Man's talking to us. How is a fictional character talking to us, Jack?
It's the internet. I don't trust. Don't trust. It's an FBI agent.
He exists.
Fisty Glue Man's going to let you know that he's only 13, but if you come over, bring some beers and some condoms. I don't like where this is going. And,
stop this allegory, please.
Okay.
And, so thank you, Fisty. We're glad you took a lot of great pictures.
Yeah.
And on to our next commercial. That's what everybody's been waiting for.
What's coming after this commercial? I'm interested. What can the fans wait with bated breath to hear?
I don't know. Maybe a battle report?
We're doing a battle report after this commercial. Come on back.
No, really.
Please, come on back.
Vinland Old Time Radio.
Ah, it is to laugh.
Bastrow!
Oi there, Dirigible. Help a fellow in Parsis out with you.
It's a gavel. A haunted gavel.
Have you read The King in Yellow?
Hello, William.
I made the koala burgers.
So what's new?
Are you insane?
That better be a rhetorical question. And yes.
Well, far too long.
I once knew a Spaniard in Targunda who spoke in gibberish like you.
Up, up, and escape!
That was terrible.
I should be a god, and instead I'm stuck down here like a worm.
She would tell me such wonderful stories.
Dr. Deja Vu will return.
Africa's a continent?
It's with great protest.
Sorry, Juji Pudding.
Ooh, now that's some fine programming.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com.
And we're back from a break. And in that break, what happened, Jack?
We played a game of Dead Zone.
It was a long commercial, it seemed.
Yes, while you were enjoying the dulcet tones of our voices telling you things that you should do.
We had about four drinks and...
Four? I've been chugging beers like a madman. Midway through that game, I was thinking, you know what? Slow your roll, because just because it's a long weekend, you know, handle your high.
So, we had a battle report. I played Enforcers, you played Plague, classic.
Yes, classic.
My Enforcers, I had Enforcer Captain, two regular Enforcers, an Assault Enforcer, a Sniper, and Recon.
Not to step on your, we did play with 100-point armies.
Yes, 100-point armies, which I think from now on we'll play with 100-point armies. 70 is just not enough. And what did you have in your army?
My army consisted of one Type 3 General.
Why he uses a Type 3 General? God knows.
Okay. I had a Type 3 General. Then I had 10 Hellhounds. The Plague Dogs.
Actually, they're Hellhounds. You call them.
Then I had a Plague Swarm and then two Type 1As.
Yeah.
And that was my... That was... that. I think in my dream team.
I think you just got to tweak it slightly.
Yeah, because I didn't
maybe
win.
Take some.
I don't want spoiler.
Yeah,
alert.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Didn't well, win.
You didn't.
I win very rarely, and this is not one of those times I win.
But you didn't win not because your units weren't effective. You just didn't win because I got lucky with my card.
Well, let's
But anyways, we'll see what card. Might as well right off the bat. We'll see what cards we had. I had a Purge. It was called, and it was
your mission card.
Yeah, mission card. So based on points, I got or based on unit cost, I got points for victory. And you had...
I had Infiltrate.
Which he could have won easily because he had Plague Dogs. and they could have ran right off the board. He decided not to do that because he didn't want to win. See? You people think that Jack doesn't want to win? Jack could have won that game easily in the first, I'd say, second round. No, third round it would take it.
My, he had positioned himself. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves, but yeah. You did win friend for yeah. setup.
And, so I started the fight.
And your small squad of enforcers were kind of on the right-hand side of the board.
Yeah. I kept them together in, like, kill teams. I didn't spread myself apart, which is a mistake, because obviously you could have won the game.
His platoon was kind of off to the right, whereas I looked, and for a brief second, sometimes I'm a very small, petty man.
I would have done it. Guaranteed.
Okay.
Because I would have laughed my ass off. I would have been like, we would have played another game after that, because it would have been over in the third round. Not even second round, probably.
But I would have positioned all of my plague dogs, 10 plague dogs, on the left-hand side. They had because they're fast, they would have sprinted across. We were playing the short.
Well, it's the same difference.
We were coming from...
So they had to move 8 squares, so it would take them 3 rounds. So me moving 3 rounds over to try to stop you, and going like, why are you sending those guys?
A couple move cards, a couple generals,
And just put your big guys in the middle to stop me from moving over.
Give you ample targets, but I opted to not.
Yeah, he actually played the game like he was trying to kill me, and he nearly did.
And I was trying to kill you.
At the end, I had 2 enforcers who just stayed on a tower, so they're away from everybody, and my general left. That was it.
This is the premier, the virginal usage of a plague swarm, so that was premier in my mind. I wanted to kill a sniper.
And he did awesome. The plague swarm, he killed a lot.
Yeah.
He probably killed all of my models. Did he kill every single one? I think so.
No,
your dog got lucky one time and killed my first person.
But we did digress. So those were our armies. Those were our missions. We started out with a pretty solid,
You pretty much rushed all your dogs at me. I killed a few. I suppressed a few because I had my burst. I tried the burst laser this time. And halfway through the game, we realized burst laser is terrible. It's the same points as an enforcer, but he can only burst. And he gets +1 to blaze away. It's like, so what? I'd rather have not +1 and be able to fight. He gets a -1 to fight, and he can't shoot regularly.
I would agree to disagree on that, in that he's same points. The fight is a minimum. He's very specific in his job, but against the plague, not so much. Against other units, he would have a benefit. You were pretty much poo-pooing him during the game.
The best that could happen was what happened. You had 4 dogs in 1 square. I suppressed it, knocked them all down, and then they just got back up and came and killed me.
Yeah, but literally, he would knock them down, they'd stand up. One guy was actually suppressed.
Yeah, at one point, yeah.
And then they'd
it
stand up.
It didn't help
up.
You all guys were enraged right off the bat, too.
Yeah, I started my army. I had nothing.
I had no shooters.
I came out
strong. His general just sat back and commanded because he had 2-3 leaders in the group. He had, 7 command? No, he had more than that. 8 command points?
It was a lot. Long story short, he was doing his job. He suppressed 4 dogs and just kept them down for 2 rounds. I would say he's not useless. He's a specialist.
He's my plague 3.
He's a specialist. You're looking for more versatile, and there's nothing wrong with that. Having a very versatile thing. He's a specialist. But
enforcers already get a plus to blaze away, so it's not like it's much different, you know? So, but anyways, first round recon, he was able to shoot first round because he was way out front.
You did take a mercenary to test another.
We don't like to call them mercenaries. We like to call them heroes.
Because he is an enforcer.
Yeah. Anyways, he was scout, so he was able to go way out. So he shot Jack's plague 1A first round, bloodied him, got a good shot in, bloodied him, and then the plague moved up and somebody else killed him. I don't think it was a recon who ended up killing him too.
No, he didn't get.
He didn't get bloodied because we forgot he had armor.
Yeah.
Then he moved up and then we killed him.
Yeah, he just got his head capped. Like
that. Yeah, I think I did a really good roll and it just got lucky.
We had a lot of good rolls.
Yeah, there's one, I took a picture of one roll I did. It was I think I was rolling 4 dice and I ended up with 8 successes or something stupid.
At one point, about 3/4 of the way through the game, I said, you haven't not rolled 8. Yeah. And you were like, yeah.
Then after that, I rolled terrible.
There was exploding.
We both rolled pretty crazy.
Yeah.
The one time I rolled like 1 success and I was like, okay, he's dead. Jack's rolling like 6 dice. He got like 1 success. We're like, oh.
It was a very chaotic.
It was even back and forth.
Enjoyable game.
Oh, let's just say we also tried out our initiative rule.
Yeah.
Which, it was,
It worked out exactly the way Mantic had designed the game.
Yeah, before. Because it never mattered, because it always ended up me going first. But there was a chance. There was
that pants-tightening joy that is the randomness.
Whoever, our rule, if you haven't heard it, is whoever has least amount of miniatures gets two dice to roll. The other person gets one. You have to roll under your command stat. So I had a command of 6, so I had to roll under that. So I had to roll 5 or under.
I had 4.
So we had to roll 3 or under. And if I got, and the ties go to me because it was, I had lesser.
Tie times. Goes to whoever went last.
Yeah, which is always me.
Which was always you, so.
And yeah, it worked out pretty fun.
Yeah. At no point did it change from the norm. The status quo was kept. But it
gave you a chance to be like, I can win this.
But at some point, sphincters tightened. And if I had been using it, baited.
And if I had been using a sergeant, it would have been much different.
I at one point I clutched my pearls.
Or if you,
and he did use the fainting couch because it was that exciting.
I was verklempt.
So,
but it, and also if you used one of your stage ones as a general instead of the stage 3, you would have gotten 6 dice.
I don't know why you keep trash talking my stage 3 general.
I just don't understand it. Why bother?
But, because I like the miniature.
Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, so I luckily killed one of his stage ones early, so that saved me from getting my butt kicked, because his other stage one had to come from really far away.
Yeah.
So his last stage one only got one attack in the whole game.
Not knowing what his mission card was, although he didn't care what my mission card was.
Yeah.
He just positioned himself where he wanted to. He was all brazen. But not knowing what his mission card was, I put a stage 1A kind of at both ends, so if he rushed, there was going to be some resistance. There was going to be a...
And your plague swarm was in the middle.
There was going to be a world of hurt wherever he decided to rush, thinking that he could infiltrate, but that wasn't the case.
And it was a really, really good fight. At first, I was just wiping things out, like as always, and thinking, oh, this is going to be easy, because I got that stage 1 and a dog right off the bat.
Like, first round, just like...
Yeah, I think it was the second round I was able to kill. And then...
That's right.
Because the first round I tried. And then... Then he got his dogs onto me, which distracted me long enough for his plague swarm to get onto me, which distracted him long enough for the stage 1 to get onto me. And that was, it looked very bad.
Yeah.
But luckily my card was, I killed that stage 1, so it was worth 3 points. And then I killed 6 dogs, so that's worth, I was up to 9 points. And I picked up the intelligence was worth 1 point. So I just had to last that round, end of that round. Jack sent his plague 1 after my general. And my general lived, but it didn't matter in the end. And he sent his plague swarm, jumped up to kill the guy who had the intelligence. So if he had dropped the intelligence, I wouldn't have won. But I rolled amazing. The problem was,
he started counting. He was like, I got this, and this, and this. He's doing math, and that's when there's a penny that dropped.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh my god. He looked at the intel chip in his hand.
Yeah. I was like, I declared that I was winning, and that his head lasted that round.
Yeah, and then I was like, uh-oh. I thought he was just having to kill my guys, and now that chip threw a wrench.
Yeah, I had to kill one more guy, and I couldn't kill a dog to save my life. There's 3 dogs that were bloodied all around my general. He couldn't kill any of them.
There was a wrench in the monkey works, that chip in his goddamn hands. So yeah. I was like, okay, well.
So he jumped his swarm up on top of the tower, because his swarm has agility. So he went right up on top of my two guys.
Slithered those centipede legs.
And if he had killed my one guy, Face, the guy I like to call Face because he's got the mask up. If he had killed him, he would have dropped the intelligence. My other guy would have picked it up. Then the plague swarm would have had to try to kill him the next round.
It would have bought me another round if he had to kill them.
But it didn't happen. And my guys were done. Like I would have, the plague one got lucky. Or I got lucky that the plague one didn't kill me that first round.
You rolled. That's the picture he had mentioned earlier of the. It was his general's defense against my plague one tearing his head off, and it was a spectacular roll.
Yeah. So I ended up with no damage there, and then then my one enforcer survived against the plague swarm, and that was it. But I had 3 guys left, 2 of which were going to die against the plague swarm, and probably my general and your that's the thing. Once the plague gets on top of the enforcers, you control the game. I tried to break away. My sniper got killed.
Yeah, your sniper tried to run, and he was chewed to death.
My burst laser did get away, but then he got into another fight. Like it was once they're on top, especially the dogs are so fast. Once they're on top of you, you can't get away from them.
And as long as they hold you. It took forever for my Type 1A to get there.
He was far away from the board, but yeah, like I said, if you switched out like one of your Type 1s and some of your dogs or your third general.
Don't talk about my dogs. There's going to be 10 dogs every time.
Then you take out one of your. I bet if you took out your Plague 1, one of your plagues, and take out your general, you could afford Territon.
Probably.
And that Territon being fast, plus this Plague Swarm's got agility, that'd be tough for me. Because if you could have gotten to me faster, I would have killed a lot less, and then I wouldn't have won.
Yeah.
Because once you got to me, I was dead. Like, my guys are 6+, or I think it was 5+. No, it was 6+, I think, to fight. So once we're in hand-to-hand, I took an assault enforcer, thinking that he could stand in hand-to-hand. Once again, he's got the same stats at hand-to-hand as, like...
You're a mercenary. Don't discredit the fact that I had dogs chewing on his limbs.
That was Recon. Recon and one dog fought back and forth for a couple rounds.
And we every time that he'd kill a dog, I'd move another one in.
Yeah.
And he was bloodied.
I just had to... I should have been able to kill more faster. That's a problem. No, my sniper, I think maybe it was my sniper that killed your plague. I think it was. Not Recon. I think it was my sniper.
Yeah.
Because my sniper only got one shot off, and I think it killed your plague one.
But either way, I called it pretty early that this was the best game we've ever played.
It was definitely back and forth, and...
It was back and forth.
And I shouldn't have won. I just got lucky, and you should have, like, we're ignoring the fact that Jack could have won the game in first round.
Maybe not first round.
No, it would have been third round.
Third round, but even then, if you had capped some guys, it would have been... But at some point, you would have seen dogs running off the edge and went,
But if you had played it right, I would have thought they were running around to come at me. Like, that's...
Yeah, but...
Because you never expect... Infiltrate's the one you never expect. Because I beat you with Infiltrate one time, you're like... I was just, like, with the Marauders, remember? I was just, like, walking over, thinking...
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I just went pop, 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 everybody off the side. You're like, oh.
Much like the Spanish Inquisition, I was caught unawares.
But yeah.
It was a good game. It was the kind of game you hope you can play. Like, when you're playing...
Both of us were like, oh, and then neither of us got butthurt about anything, because it was just...
It was back and forth at the dice. At no point, David, was I bitching.
It's true. It was really good, because it was exactly how both teams should play.
Yeah.
It just, my card happened to be the right one though for me to win. Otherwise, you would have wiped me out easy, in two rounds at least.
Maybe two or three rounds, I would have wiped you out.
Yeah, because once my enforcers can't shoot, I'm in trouble.
And it took that long to get a Type A1 into position. Yeah. I had the Plague Swarm in position. And the guys on the tower...
If it had been my sniper in that tower, that would have been a much different game.
I had four... I think four or five dogs maybe left. Four, at least four.
I think he had five.
We're charging up into that tower.
No, four. One. I think he had four. Yeah, four or five.
Either way, the tower would not have been a bit like a...
No, he had your Plague Swarm. Once your Plague Swarm was up there, he would eventually kill them.
Yeah, but those guys weren't going to be active. Like that.
But if my sniper had been dogs... in that tower right off the bat, he would have start taking people out. Even in groups and stuff.
Yeah.
Even my enforcers. Remember, he shot that one dog that was in that group. He got a really lucky roll and killed a dog while he was fighting somebody.
Yes,
that was a good shot.
He had fired into a square that had his own units in it, so he had a penalty.
But I had a clear shot because the dog was right in front of me. We were just shooting across a little opening. I was in the tower, and he was...
But it was very fortuitous. That's the thing. It was
a good roll. Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
Oh, what about the frag grenade? That was hilarious. I almost killed my whole army with one grenade.
Do tell our listening audience when you almost ended the game through your own hubris tossing a frag grenade.
He had four dogs in a square that were all suppressed. They were on the ground. I threw a frag grenade. My assault enforcer had a frag grenade I gave to him. He threw it into that square. He missed. He came into the square between that. There was a big fight going on top of a building. You'll see the pictures. There's a big fight going on top. Plus my enforcer captain was there. And the frag grenade went off, but I think everybody except for your two dogs made saves, and they were only pinned.
But it could have been a catastrophe. It could have been.
If all my guys had been pinned, I would have lost, because that was the very first thing I did in that round, too. So I would have lost all my turns just standing all back up.
The rest of his turn, because he got initiative every round, would have been standing up.
It was my hubris, you're right. It was hubris that I was like, oh, I'll just kill these dogs with this grenade.
He did that thing where like he grabs the pin with his teeth and pulls it out. And stands up and just like a propaganda poster from
Soviet propaganda.
Yeah, Soviet propaganda poster where he's got the grenade aloft, looking up at the stars that are his to take at his will. And he threw it in there and it missed, went right into where his own guys were, and could have been a disaster.
Yeah, everybody made their saves except for two dogs. Saves. Two dogs were pinned, is it? Because they made their saves, but they didn't double.
But that could have ended the game.
Well,
right there.
I think also because I remember once I rolled badly, I was like. To roll to hit, like, not to hit, to roll to damage, I was like, please, please get no successes. And I got, like, one success. I got really lucky. It was, like, low. So everybody was able to succeed.
With that being said, anyone who craps on the fact that there's exploding eights in this game doesn't understand.
Well, it changes everything. Yeah.
Doesn't understand.
How many times were you like, well, I have no chance? Oh, look, an eight. And you're like, holy crap.
Exactly. And some of those rolls were like, oh, this frag grenade's gonna go off and I'm dead.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, no.
You got enough eights to survive it, or...
The exploding eights is integral, I would say, to the way this game plays. And anyone who doesn't understand that probably doesn't play. Is either too into the rules.
And you wouldn't think you'd get that many eights, but we roll eights all the time.
Like I said, you rolled an eight every time.
And you rolled quite a few. I remember that one time. Remember you were like eight. And we're like, what?
It was like four eights in a row.
And it ended up doing no damage because it was against some armor guy. It was a dog against armor, so it was like nothing.
And at some point, I literally said, hey, come on. Is there a gimme here? Because I got so many eights. And he's like, nope.
Yeah, nope. It was crazy. I think after a certain amount of eights, your guy automatically dies from like a brain hemorrhage.
Oh, I didn't know that rule.
Your head just explodes because you're like, I'm too powerful.
I'm too good for this world. I'm too beautiful for this tainted world.
I'm going to a better place.
I'm going to heaven. See his bitches. Yeah.
It was a good game. It was a good game.
Yeah, it was a good game. And as far as you know, gameplay, we didn't come into any kind of...
For one, I think this is the first time we even come up against something. We're like, oh, that didn't work right, or we didn't like that.
Or what's the rule, or whatever. Yeah. Like
we were making up rules, because both of us were like confusing it with dust for some reason.
Yeah, I'm going to guess, because I was chugging beers like a crazy person, and you're drinking whiskey, so...
All of a sudden, we're like, that guy can't make that corner, because he's a mech. There's no mechs in this game, Rob.
You were concerned that my type 1A was a mech, and B, couldn't go on a diagonal around a building, which is a dust rule.
I can't remember what you were...
I questioned something else.
You're like, no, that was a dust rule.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was now.
Which we haven't played dust in probably six months.
Yeah, at least. I think it's probably six months. Probably almost 6 months.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Actually, ignoring that, because we've had Dead Zone for probably 6 months. So ever since we've had Dead Zone, we haven't played dust. That's for sure.
Well, long story short, we've been drinking. It's a long weekend. Hope this
doesn't just sound like chaos.
Good.
Thanks to all our friends on Twitter. It's good to hear from you guys.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of good positive feedback in real time.
It's nice to get interactions.
Yeah, because I'm a bit of a hermit. I'm a stodgy old man.
And I don't like to talk to people in person. I don't mind talking to them on social medias, but...
So, like, I don't understand. This guy put out a Twitter announcement that said we're going to be doing a podcast, and people were... like replying, it was astounding. So I just want to say thank you for both your emails, your Twitter, everything. We've had such a positive, good response to this podcast.
Thanks a lot. That's what makes this worthwhile.
Really. Yeah, it's really jazzing us. Really, it really is.
Good times.
It really. And speaking of which, we're going to be at a game convention.
Oh, yeah. Yep. If Queen City Con in Buffalo, New York, across the border from us.
Yeah, we're going to make a trip. We're going to go out.
We're going to go that 10 minutes across the border.
we've never been. We don't know what it is.
We've never been to Buffalo? We've been to UbiCon in our youth. We used to go to UbiCon. That's a spring convention. This convention, I think, is going to be going for about 4 years. And it seems like it's going to be fun. Yeah. So if anybody's in the Buffalo area in September 19th to 21st, come on down. Buffalo Niagara Convention Center.
We were thinking about getting out the board and making a Dead Zone thing, but we've never been. We don't know.
We also don't like people.
Maybe next year.
But anyways, come see us. If you see, you don't know what we look like, but if you see a tall, gray-haired guy who's really mean-looking, that's probably Jack. If you see a slightly shorter, red-haired guy who's jolly but scowling, that's probably Rob.
Or look for the Vinland Old Time Radio t-shirt.
Yeah, maybe we'll wear some t-shirts.
Yeah, we'll be wearing the Vinland Old Time Radio t-shirt. So, yeah.
I doubt there's many in the Buffalo area. We're not like living in the mecca of Mantic that is Ohio.
No, we've got a lot of responses from...
Or Sweden. We're not living in Sweden.
Or Sweden. Both Milke and...
David.
Milke and David were from Sweden. So, like...
Or England, where most of the other people are from.
Yeah. But if you are in the Buffalo area,
come on down.
Yes, we'll Queen be hanging City out. Con. Yeah.
Anyways, it's been good.
Yeah, that was a good game. I enjoyed it. It's the way the game should be played. It's the way the game is best. It was a thoroughly enjoyable game. I've got quite the deficit in my ledgers for wins, but I will scrub that clean and just revel in the fact that was a fantastic.
Yeah, it didn't really matter who won or lost.
It was a fantastic game.
But good game.
Which
good
is
times.
A tribute to the rules.
Oh yeah, for sure, and the game itself. So it's been another Dead Zone the podcast.
The Dead Zone podcast. This was number 16.
Yep, 16. It's lucky number 16. It's my favorite number.
Oh, mine's 3. So
you missed that a long time ago.
I failed to monopolize on that. I should have screamed to the heavens.
So we've rambled on long enough.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Wintergreen, take us out. Bye!
Here is your host, Rob, to tell you how to contact us here at the Dead Zone Podcast.
Thank you, Winter Rain. You can listen to us on our website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. You can email us at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at deadzonepodcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Join us next time for some more of the Dead Zone Podcast.
You think this is funny? Oh, you don't?
Oh.
Then maybe you'll find Vinland Old Time Radio more of your liking.
More of your liking indeed, Rob.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com. It's where the funny lives.